Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hockman and Crowder Show here on Martin Luther King Day. Alex Dono and Zach Duarte in. Got to mention my man Dan Day as well, holding it down. I didn't ask him before the show, but at some point between now and 6, we've got to get a day spa update.
We're stepping in and out of the day spa during headlines every hour.
Should I even, Dan, explain, like, the different various platforms people can listen to the show on today? And because, Zach, it's very confusing today. So,
flip a coin, pick one.
From 2 to 3 p.m., you hear us right here on 790 The Ticket, exclusively on 790 The Ticket, which is normal. That's how a normal Hawk and Crowder show goes. You get the loco hour on one station from 2 to 3. Then we've got the simulcast. But today, the simulcast on 790 The Ticket and our sister station, 560 The Joe, will be abbreviated only from 3 to 4 p.m. Because then at 4 p.m. here on 790 The Ticket, you have Heat pregame, a little matinee affair today on ML King Day. And then from 4 to 6, we're going to jump studios. We literally have to walk all the way down the hallway.
Unbelievable.
Not even. I mean, it's the next studio over.
It's so unfair. Hawk and Crowder don't do this. I don't know why we are.
They never have to do this. And then from BS. 4 to 6, we are on exclusively from 560 The Joe. So there will be a four-hour broadcast today, but you're going to have to flip the stations around a little bit to hear everything. And I'm looking forward to the next 4 hours, Zach, because, yeah, we're going to talk some Heat and other things with Clay Ferraro from Channel 10, 15 minutes of Heat coming up about 17 minutes from now. But we do have the table set now for the Super Bowl. Is this the matchup you wanted? Is it the matchup you were expecting?
Well, first of all, I think I just want a good game, right? I think we, at the crux of it, want the Super Bowl to not be what that Green Bay 49ers game was yesterday,
yes,
right?
Yes, please God.
Right? We want something. I think last year was a pretty good game, although it was kind of boring.
Yeah, well, last year was like, it was a victory for the old school fan because it was a defensive heavy game. It was not a victory, I think, for the people who only just come in for the Super Bowl, come in for the commercials, come in hoping for 100 combined points to be scored. Last year was not that.
Right, and then you think the year before, it was that. It was the Patriots-Eagles, you know, Philly special, but you had good games. So I don't really know if I cared about the matchup. I did want Tannehill to be in there.
Oh, so you wanted him in.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. That's my guy.
I mean, listen, I wouldn't have minded. I wouldn't have minded.
Yes, you would have just by your response right there. Why are you lying, bro? I could tell.
You know what? You know what? It took you about 2.5 minutes to figure me out because, admittedly,
you're like, yeah, I wouldn't. What do you mean, bro? I could tell just by your voice.
You know, since the playoffs started, I've kind of had an on-air agenda where I've been saying things like, I'd be happy for him if he gets to the Super Bowl. I wouldn't take an issue with it. You just made me realize and you exposed me for a fraud because, yeah, I've been lying to everybody and I've been lying to myself. Like, I was, while watching that game yesterday, I was watching it with my dad. My dad is very anti-Tannehill. I was watching it with my dad and
we
were both.
Why would anybody be anti-Tannehill?
Because you don't want the guy who's no longer with you to have more success. It's like, think about it this way. Tannehill is our ex, right? There were several reasons why it didn't work out. There were people to blame on both sides.
Yeah, the big reason was you because you were a tool. That's why.
Well, I mean, Tannehill was a little bit toolish as well for 7 years.
Yeah, okay. Like, I don't know how to make this relationship. I don't know how to compare this to a relationship, but.
But here's how you compare
you
it to.
You gave Tannehill Adam Gase. That's all I need to say.
Well, hear me out on the relationship thing, right? No matter what the circumstances were that led to the breakup did happen. And whether it's your fault or the other person's fault, you don't want the person who you broke up with or broke up with you to get into a better relationship immediately. Like, you don't want to see that. There's a little bit of spite. There's a little bit of pettiness.
No,
that
let
comes
me let me
play.
Tell you how I look at this. Okay.
Okay.
Tannehill is like the girlfriend that was dating your boy.
Okay.
And my boy was complete D-bag. Was a complete tool to his girlfriend. Okay. So
Tannehill was Adam Gase's girlfriend in this scenario.
Sure.
Oh, man, waking up to this, man.
But, you know, yeah, my he's still my boy. Like, I'm going to love him no matter what. That's my dude, you know. But he was in the wrong. And so I definitely, like, you know, I want her to go on to bigger and better things. I don't care if it happens right away or 4 years later. That's what I could, because the Dolphins here, they're my boy. I love the Dolphins. I love the Dolphins no matter what, but the Dolphins were the reason why that didn't work out. The Dolphins failed Tannehill to put a complimentary team and coaching staff around him. And you saw what happened the first year that he had one. Ding! NFC Championship game.
Yeah, but that scenario, though, was so tailor-made for him. I still think you can do better. Like we would both agree Tannehill's not a top-10 quarterback.
Sure.
So I think the Dolphins would like to find a top-10 quarterback.
Hold on. Is Nick Foles a top-10 quarterback?
No.
Okay.
And Trent Dilfer wasn't a top-10 quarterback. Brad Johnson wasn't a top-10
quarterback.
Was
Joe Flacco a top-10 quarterback?
Nope. Well, I mean, you kind of maybe for about a month you thought he was.
Was Peyton Manning the year he won his second Super Bowl a top-10 quarterback?
No, the year he won his second Super Bowl.
Was benched for Brock Osweiler? Okay, so you can do it. Like, it's not like it happens once a decade. It happens like once every 4 or 5 years where a guy who's not a top-5 MVP-type quarterback wins the Super Bowl because the team excels at everything. It happens.
Yeah,
you can do that.
But in this day and age, it's a lot more common for the great quarterback to elevate. I mean, how many times have we seen that with Brady? We're seeing it now with Pat Mahomes. How many times have we seen that with the Aaron Rodgers and the Drew Brees who have won Super Bowls in the past? And, you know, maybe Ben Roethlisberger, not the best example because Pittsburgh always had great teams, but he definitely elevated their play. You tend to see the great quarterback elevating the team a lot more often than you see the Ryan Tannehill types he's not going to win a Super Bowl, so maybe Peyton Manning the second time is the better example. You don't see that happen as much as you see the stud quarterback elevate his team to victory.
Well, yeah, you see that, but there's only 4 or 5 of those guys. There's only 4 or 5 of those guys.
So you keep trying to get one of those guys until you get one
of
those guys.
Okay, and the Dolphins have been trying to do that for 20 years, and here we are, where we've won one playoff game since 2001.
So we're due. We're due to find that guy.
Well, you just jettisoned the guy who could have won you a playoff game.
Yeah.
Hold on. How many pass attempts did Jimmy Garoppolo have yesterday?
8.
Okay, thank you.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, can you imagine? I remember, and obviously I wasn't alive, neither of us were alive, when Bob Greasy was playing and winning Super Bowls in the early 70s, but I think it was the one from the 73 season, 73 season, 74 Super Bowl, when Bob Greasy only attempted 7 passes in a Dolphins Super Bowl victory. And I think what you're going to see in this coming Super Bowl, I'm stealing this point admittedly because I read a great piece on ProFootballTalk.com a couple of hours ago that in a Super Bowl that's going to be played in Miami in just under 2 weeks, you're seeing a couple of Miami Dolphins-esque quarterbacks. Now, not current Miami Dolphins-esque quarterbacks, but you're getting Pat Mahomes, who's representing Dan Marino with the prolific passing game, and then you're getting Jimmy Garoppolo, who's representing Bob Greasy, how he may only even attempt 8, 9, 10 passes in the game, and his team might still win. So you're getting a little bit of that past Miami Dolphins flavor in a Super Bowl being played in Miami in the year 2020. Thankfully, to me, that Dolphins flavor is not coming from Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, Bob Greasy won the AFC Championship game, going 3 of 5 with 70 yards. Won the Super Bowl 8 of 11 for 88 yards, and then won a game in 1973 in the playoffs, going 3 of 6 with 34 yards.
Oh, and didn't they put together like 10-minute long drives a lot of the times?
Yeah,
I wouldn't know, but I would imagine just by his game log, yes. Also, the score was like, I think the Dolphins won a Super Bowl 14-7. So.
Oh, that was about, well, what was the final score of last year's Super Bowl?
13-3.
So there you go. So that was actually more, that was more high scoring than a game we just saw in the Super Bowl a year ago.
And that was Tom Brady, probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Oh, man. This is like, I enjoyed this matchup. I guess if you were just really going on the star power of the quarterbacks, you would have wanted Aaron Rodgers in there. I didn't give the Packers a realistic chance to win yesterday's game. And it ended up going a lot the way that the first matchup between the 49ers and Packers went, where 49ers were just overwhelming at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, you saw what the offensive line did, and George Kittle blocking at tight end was fantastic. They're putting up 285 yards rushing. They were pressuring, disrupting Aaron Rodgers all evening. He was making dumb mistakes. He was getting sacked. So I had the feeling San Francisco would advance. But now in the Super Bowl, aren't you getting now the perfect matchup for the old school fans to look at the 49ers, like the baby boomers, the Generation X guys who love the power line of scrimmage game, 3 yards, 15 yards in a cloud of dust against the Instagram, Snapchat, Fortnite generation who get to look at the Kansas City Chiefs? And I saw the first opening betting line for Super Bowl 54 has Kansas City about a 1-point favorite. I don't know what to do with that, honestly, and we're going to have, you know, 13 more days to kind of digest what's going to happen in that game, because, like, my logic, my brain is telling me to favor San Francisco because they're just so overwhelming with their physicality, but then you look at what Pat Mahomes is able to do, buying time, making ridiculous plays. So maybe if I'm going to try with my heart to favor Kansas City a little bit, the question I would ask myself is, the game is really close late in the fourth quarter, one way or the other. Which quarterback would I trust to make those big couple plays down the stretch? Which quarterback would I trust more? And the answer is obviously Pat Mahomes over Jimmy Garoppolo, although Jimmy Garoppolo's team is so damn good, they might be up by 2 scores in the fourth quarter anyway. So it's tough, man. I don't know what to do with that.
Look, I think the Super Bowl has probably got two of the best teams that were left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think and by the way, like, the Dolphins, man, how much of an effect? Week 17, right? The Dolphins having an effect on home field advantage for the Chiefs, and also that game against Seattle and San Francisco, Week 17. If Seattle gets another 6 inches,
yeah,
the 49ers have to go on the road for the first two playoff games if they even have a home playoff game. So, man, just how things change so dramatically. And the Dolphins having a role to do with it again. You think back a couple years ago, I think it was the year that Denver won the Super Bowl. The Dolphins played the Patriots week 17, and the Dolphins beat the – that was the week that the Patriots didn't even try to throw the ball.
That's right.
They tried to run like 800 times.
Yeah, they tried to do what the 49ers did
right
yesterday.
Right, and they lost, home field advantage. They had to go to Denver, and they lost in the AFC Championship game. So, yeah, man, the Dolphins having a hand in this, man. You're welcome, Kansas City.
I guess it's fitting that the Dolphins would have such a hand in a Super Bowl being played in their backyard, right?
Very true.
I love a good Twitter beef. Did you see this between Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman?
Oh, I did.
This was fantastic. So Darrell Revis just taking shots at Richard Sherman. Fear of getting beat in man-to-man coverage. Every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a cornerback is lame. Accept the challenge. Although he wrote, like, except with an E instead of with an A, which as a grammar idiot like myself, it bothered me a little bit. I think Sherman actually poked fun at that later. He says, accept the challenge as the best and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding in a cover 3 zone. And then Richard Sherman responds, this is the mic drop moment. Like, you can't come back from this if you're Darrell Revis. Richard Sherman writes, I would go in on this has-been, but I have a Super Bowl to prepare for. Enjoy the view from the couch. Your 9th year looked a lot different than this. LMAO. Like, you can't do any better than that, man. And speaking of social media, you were showing me something, Zach, before the show. I don't know how I missed this last night. So Rob Lowe, actor Rob Lowe, I know him primarily from Wayne's World, but he's in everything. Actor Rob Lowe was at the Chiefs 49ers game. And I don't know how this could have even happened, but he was wearing just a generic NFL logo hat, as if he was an extra referee.
He was a referee. It doesn't make any sense. He's like, yeah, I'm just rooting for a good game.
Yeah. Like, Rob, who are you rooting for? NFL.
The NFL.
The National Football League. I bet you what happened was, like, he's got the, you know, he's like in his 50s, but he's got that amazing hair. Like, he probably thought maybe it's a little windy outside, or I don't know if my hair is going to hold up. Somebody get me a hat pronto. And the thing that they came up with was the generic NFL logo hat.
Have you seen Parks and Rec?
I've seen, I know people are obsessed with that show. I've seen like half of one season. I haven't seen that much.
You're doing yourself a disservice.
I was going to say, that show's dope.
He's in that show. His character in that show would wear an NFL hat.
Yeah, yeah. He would totally be that type of generic guy. Very, very generic and healthy.
It is literally the best hat ever.
So So we're going to have, coming up in a little bit, we'll have 15 minutes of heat with Clay Ferrero from WPLG. And I also want to pick Clay's brain because I know he's been all over this story as well. Have you gotten caught up in this whole De'Aaron King saga? You know, the transfer quarterback from Houston. So, I don't know, midday yesterday, Manny Navarro, who's a damn good reporter, by the way, damn good reporter now with The Athletic, he tweets out that he has it on good authority that De'Aaron King has already notified Miami's coaches he's going to transfer to the U to play quarterback, grad transfer, could play immediately next year. I see this on social media, and like everyone else who loves the Canes, I'm rejoicing. Oh, my God, this guy's going to elevate our passing game. He can run that up-tempo spread offense. It's going to be a great transition to the Rhett Lashley era. Then a couple of hours later, reports start coming out of Houston that De'Aaron King is telling people, hold on, guys, not so fast. I've not made my decision yet. I'm still going to take visits to other schools. I'm not ready to announce anything. So what do we do with this information? Because I have very little doubt that Manny Navarro had it. Good word that De'Aaron King is coming here. So why would King come out and have that retraction to the story? Like, what do you think is going on behind the scenes? Do you think the report was just wrong? Or maybe, to me, De'Aaron King might just want to make the announcement his own way.
I mean, first of all, you never know what's going on behind the scenes, right? I think he still had, or I don't know if he took the visit to Maryland. I know he was supposed to take a
supposedly visit. He canceled that one.
Yeah, so you know, who knows? Like, maybe Maryland behind the scenes was like, hey, man, here's a money bag. Like, you never know. You never know with the world of college recruiting.
Well, if the money bag's coming from anywhere, it might be coming from the SEC, because I know LSU's in the hunt as well.
You know, Maryland wants to get in with the big boys now.
There you go.
Maryland's in what, in the big 12?
The Big Ten.
Big Ten, okay. So, yeah, they got some money bags there too. Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
Penn State. So, I really don't know. It's one of these things. There's a lot of stories these days, Dono, that make me just, like, roll my eyes. And I'm like, anything with Antonio Brown, right?
Yeah.
Makes me roll my eyes, right? When there's a recruiting story, I just, okay, is he coming here? Yeah, no, unconfirmed. Oh, this guy posted a crown on Twitter. Okay. Like, I don't care, man. So this is the world of 2020, right? Where the news cycle it's on Twitter. Like you said, Twitter and Instagram. I don't know what's going on here. I believe Manny Navarro. That's my guy. I know Manny. He's a trustworthy source, and I don't recall him putting out a story and it wasn't factual.
Yeah, look, I trust him a lot more than some of the basement dwelling clowns who were trying to quote unquote report on Alonzo Highsmith the last couple weeks.
Like, that's another one.
You had a couple of these fan accounts that, because here's the thing: whenever you're looking for good news, confirmation bias happens. So you see some jabroni with 18 followers saying, oh, guys, I'm reporting that Alonzo Highsmith has said yes to Miami, and this guy who's wearing a tinfoil hat in mom's basement tweets it out. You want to believe it so badly, you start retweeting it and trying to confirm it. That's not Manny Navarro. Like, this guy has been covering the Canes for a very long time. He's got his sources. He's got his trusted informants. And so, you know, hopefully this ends up coming to pass. But when we come back, we'll have 15 minutes of heat and probably a little college football as well with Clay Ferrero from WPLG. Keep it locked to Hawk and Crowder. Hawk and Crowder show here on 790 The Ticket. They're off for Martin Luther King Day today. Alex Dono and Zach Duarte filling in. We got the infamous Dan Day Radio on the other side. Dan Day is with us. We'll be on until 6. We're here exclusively on 790 until 4. Then we got the simulcast from 3 to 4. Then you'll have Heat pregame in here, so we'll move over to 560 WQAM or to The Joe exclusively from 4 until 6. So a lot of scrambling around, but you'll be able to hear us throughout the day. Miami Heat today, this afternoon, this evening, will host the Sacramento Kings at 5 o'clock. Heat just fell to the Spurs on the road last night, 107-102. It's time for 15 minutes of Heat. Clay Ferrero from WPLG PLG joins us. I can't speak. Clay, how are you today? Clay?
No Clay.
No Clay.
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, there he is. Clay, how are you, man?
Yeah. Hey, doing well. Look, normally, normally I'm on with Hawk and Crowder, so let me just explain to you guys how this normally goes.
Shenanigans.
Normally,
shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
29 seconds, 29 seconds of heat, 14 minutes and 31 seconds of nonsense. So let's get it going with the 29 seconds.
Give us your Mount Rushmore of walnuts.
I didn't even know there was more than one kind of walnut, so I guess it's just four of the same kind of walnut. That's very good, though.
Have you lost any friends over your chicken wings hot take from last week? Because it actually started on a Twitter thread that I was in, and it seemed like a lot of people, myself included, were. I've gotten over it, but a lot of people were very angry with you for saying you don't like chicken wings.
Well, Dono, I don't look at it as losing friends. I prefer to look at it as learning who your true friends are. So, I mean, I'll admit, there have been some unfollows. There have been some people who have reached out to me and said that they can't continue to be my friends. But in my opinion, they just weren't my friends to begin with.
Fair enough. Now, we're going to get into a lot of stuff, but let's start with some Miami Heat basketball. They have dropped three of the past five, had some tough losses on the road going back to the weekend of doom against the Nets and the Knicks. I guess last night's loss was not as bad, Clay, but things did go wrong. They blew a lead down the stretch. How do you diagnose last night's loss? And some of these recent losses, do they kind of give you a sign that this team may need to look to make some moves at the trade deadline?
Well, I think what you're seeing with this team, and this is kind of unique for a Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra team, is they don't have a whole lot of really good individual defenders. Jimmy Butler is a very good defender. Bam Adebayo is a very good defender. Derrick Jones Jr. is becoming a good defender. Beyond that, it's a whole lot of average and perhaps even below average when you look at all these metrics that explain how good these guys are defensively, which, by the way, I think is why you're seeing a lot of zone defense at times with this team. But the problem you're running into is this team's given up a lot of points at the rim. Yeah. And so naturally you're like, okay, well, maybe they're missing a rim protector. Should they go out and get an Andre Drummond? Are they missing Hassan Whiteside? I think the
biggest
problem,
don't say that,
guys. No. And I think the biggest problem is the perimeter defenders, the average and below average perimeter defenders are just letting guys by. And it's creating easy opportunities at the rim. And the Heat, when they're playing man-to-man defense, it's a team that doesn't like to switch a whole lot. And so they kind of trust their defenders to go out there and defend the man that they're assigned to. And unfortunately, that doesn't work so well when you've got a group of guys that you know, beyond a couple of guys, aren't great individual defenders. So, you know, I hate to say it, but this team really misses what Justice Winslow would bring right now. And I don't know if and when we see him again in a Heat uniform, but they need somebody who can bring the type of tenacity, individual perimeter defense that he could bring. And right now, I think you're seeing a lack of it.
Clay, what do you make of, and I'm going to break this down for you a little bit and then kind of get your opinion on it. You look at the last nine road games, right? They're 3-6 on the road. And I hear what you're saying about the lack of defense in the paint, but they got three wins on the road against teams that are above 500, Philadelphia, I think it's Indiana, and Oklahoma City the other day. And then all six losses are to teams under 500. Yeah. The Knicks, the Nets, the Wizards, the Magic, the Spurs the other day, the Grizzlies, who I know they're a team trending in the right direction right now, but six losses, basically the last calendar month, to teams under 500 on the road.
Yeah, when I think it was after the Nets loss that Jimmy Butler – no, it was the Knicks loss, actually. When Jimmy Butler was pretty clear, he said there needs to be some effort. I mean, there needs to be more effort. And so, yeah, I think what it boils down to is you don't have that margin for error. So when you don't have guys who can just kind of go out there and put forth maybe 80 to 90% effort and still get the job done defensively, then you see games like what happened against Brooklyn and New York and Memphis, although, like you said, Memphis is playing a lot better lately. So I think it's kind of a combination of all of that. And, yeah, look, this team is good. And I think, you know, there's a difference between good and elite. The elite teams like Milwaukee and Golden State over the last couple of years, they could just show up and win a couple of games. This team needs to come and bring it every night if they're going to win again, even against teams that are under 500. And I think you're right. And I think Butler, hey, go off of that man's the leader of this team. And I'm going to take him at his word that this team needs to make sure they bring that sort of effort every single night. Now, last night, I think it's a little tough when you're playing the same team within a span of 4 days, home and home. And, you know, but that's just looking at that one in a vacuum. Long term, you're right. I mean, you need to see consistent effort from this team night in and night out.
So for today, it is the second end of a back-to-back, but you'd think for the Heat with the AAA having been such a fortress this season, 18-1 at home, taking on the Sacramento Kings, who are not good, and they're 7-14 away. Straightforward victory today, Clay, or might things go awry this afternoon?
Well, I mean, I think you obviously hope that they bounce back, and for a team that has played very well at home and you're playing against a subpar team, yeah, I mean, you got to take advantage of these. And at the same time, like, the schedule's about to get tough over the next couple of weeks. So I think, yeah, I would think you would come out and win today, but I also think that they have to bring an extra sense of urgency in this ballgame, just given what we've seen the last couple of weeks against teams under 500 and also what we see coming up on the schedule. If you're asking me to bet my house, yeah, I'm betting it on the Heat to win tonight, but also, you know, back-to-back nights, anything can happen here. But, you know, I can't say this enough. Effort and energy and urgency has to be there when they hit the floor in a couple of hours.
Clay, when you look at this Miami Heat roster, I like to ask this question to any Heat guest I bring onto the airwaves here. When you look at the Heat roster today and you think about a month from today would be after the trade deadline, does the Heat roster as currently comprised today look the same a month from today?
I'm going to say no. I've felt for a few weeks, and I said this, actually, it was around the time of the home Lakers game, that it wouldn't surprise me if Justice Winslow isn't here beyond the trade deadline. Now, I wonder how much that has changed with him not being on the floor, and you know, how much teams are interested in bringing in somebody at this point who's suffered through some back issues this year. But, you know, for whatever reason, and it's clear whenever Winslow is on the floor, he brings it. There's a sense of energy and urgency, and he's what this team would need right now. Unfortunately, you know, the old saying is the best ability is availability. And right now they haven't been able to rely on having him on the floor. That's not his fault. I mean, it's not his fault that he's been hurt, but they need to bring in someone, because right now the perimeter defense ain't good. And I think Eric Spoelstra knows that. I think and he alluded to this, by the way, after the loss in Brooklyn. He basically said, look, what we're seeing right now, this is something that's been building up. We just happened to have an offense that bailed us out a few times, but the defensive effort hadn't been there. And whether it's effort or ability, whatever it is, I think they know that they're not where they need to be defensively to make a big run. So if you're asking me one way or the other, are they going to bring in somebody? I think they will. And I think it's probably going to be somebody on the wing as opposed to somebody underneath.
We're joined by Clay Ferraro from WPLG. So, Clay, let's shift into college football, because I know that past 24 hours have been kind of confusing for Canes fans, really the last few weeks after the whole Alonzo Highsmith saga and the Rhett Lashley hiring and now the De'Aaron King stuff. It's been a whirlwind. So what do you make of a couple of prominent reports yesterday? Basically said De'Aaron King is coming, he's transferring from Houston, and then, you know, reports out of Houston said they spoke to King, he's not ready to commit or make an announcement. Now, the timetable gets a little complicated, because if he wants to be here for spring ball, he's got to enroll in classes by tomorrow. So where do you think we are? Where do you think you are? Do you think he's coming? And why do you think we've had all these reports pulling us in two different directions?
Well, let's recap what you just said and what we know. And let's start with Manny Navarro was the first one to report this, and Manny's outstanding. And he's not going to go with anything. You know, he's earned the credibility over the years. So let's take that report at face value that he told somebody with UM that he's coming. Then you've got Mark Berman in Houston, who is also reputable. And he had direct quotes from De'Aaron King saying, okay, my decision hasn't been made. I've still got some other schools that I want to look at. And then the third element that you just mentioned, the timing of this whole thing, that he has to be in tomorrow. This is just my read on it, Manny. Or Manny, like I'm talking to Manny. This is just my read on it, guys. I feel like this thing is so complicated because of that timetable. And look, put yourself in De'Aaron King's shoes. He's not going to a school as a freshman. He's not going to spend a couple of years competing for a spot and then maybe eventually taking over as a starting quarterback. De'Aaron King is going somewhere to start immediately, and whether that's at UM, whether it's at Arkansas, whether it's somewhere else. So let me just put you again in his shoes. Would you really want, if he can't get into UM for whatever reason, whether it's admissions, whether it's timing, whatever it might be, if you can't get into UM, do you really want it to get out that, let's say, Arkansas is your second choice, and
no.
you're going to walk in there, and all of a sudden those players expect you to lead them? I mean, I just feel like there are a lot of reasons why this thing could be complicated beyond Manny's report being inaccurate, or Manny's report leading Derek King to rethink things because now the cat's out of the bag, which I actually saw people yelling at Manny on Twitter to, oh, let him announce. No, it has nothing to do with that. I think there's likely some other stuff going on behind the scenes just because this game that we're – this transfer portal game, this early admission game that we're all kind of learning on the fly, I think we're finding out there's a lot of other complicated issues that go along with it.
We saw last year, Clay, how much the Hurricanes kind of depended on the transfer portal in order to plug the holes. And I almost feel like the Hurricanes might be falling into that trap again this year. Do you view that as a problem, or do you view it as, hey, they were a young team, they needed to fill a couple pieces, and they're doing that same thing this year? We saw they only had, I think, five or six guys on senior day, like graduating from the team. And you look in the transfer portal, they already went there to address their kicking situation. Now they're going there to address quarterback. I'd expect they go there for offensive linemen and defensive linemen as well.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on – I think it's two separate things. I think let's kind of compare it to the NFL. To me, the transfer portal is free agency, and it's – you have immediate holes. And to me also, the draft is like recruiting, whereas you're kind of going out there and you want to build the foundation of a program through the draft, or in this case, if you're a college team, you want to build it through recruiting. But what the transfer portal allows you to do is bring in these guys that can fill those immediate needs. And look, where would they struggled last year, and we all know that, but where would the offense have been without KJ Osborne? So I think it has its place. You don't want to have to rely on it long term. And in this case, look, they need a quarterback, and they at least need somebody to come in and compete. I do happen to think that Rhett Lashley's system will be user-friendly, that somebody can come in like a De'Aaron King or guys who are already there and potentially perform better than what we saw last year. At the same time, though, this is what the transfer portal is for. So if you're relying on it long-term because you're going to consistently have recruiting misses that build up over the years, no, I don't think that's sustainable. At the same time, good NFL teams use free agency to fill immediate holes and not necessarily build the foundation of your program, but fill those holes when needed.
Clay Ferraro from WPLG is with us. Clay, a good friend of mine lives in Canada and works for the Frito-Lay Corporation, and he tries to preach to me the gospel of the ketchup-flavored chip, which is not really an item that they export to the United States because I don't think the American market would be open to it. But he tells me the ketchup-flavored Lay's chip is actually the number two seller in Canada behind only the original Lay's chip. Is that something you think Americans might someday embrace, the ketchup-flavored Lay's chip?
I mean, look, you're talking to somebody who likes putting ketchup on bacon.
Ooh, I think we might have found the guy.
Yeah, no, it's actually good. I don't know that I would prefer, like, when it comes to chips, I'm more of a salt and vinegar guy. I'm kind of talking myself into this. I like the tomato flavor. Yeah. I like vinegar, and I like salt, and I like putting ketchup on things. So, yeah, I mean, and ketchup on French fries. I mean, it makes sense. But you know what? In the last 10 seconds, I've gone from all that's terrible to now actually talking myself into this. And unfortunately, I think it's kind of degrading my chicken wing take. So now people listening to this, I've lost all credibility at this point.
The thing is, like, I don't know. It's like I'm not even a big ketchup guy, Zach. But I mean, 8 million Canadians can't all be wrong, right? I mean, if that many people really do love the ketchup chip, it's something I might at least be open to try.
I think I'd be definitely open to try it. Like, I don't think. Like you think, yeah, like Clay was saying, ketchup on French fries, that's not that foreign.
I didn't like that. I mean, I'm not one of the, I would never put ketchup on bacon, but ketchup on French fries I've done.
Yeah, bacon's a little bit far of a stretch. Clay, walnuts with ketchup make your Mount Rushmore?
No. I don't know that I put ketchup on walnuts, but like I'm thinking about this more, guys, and I'm going to be thinking about this all day, but if it's really that good, why wouldn't they want to export it to make money?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a good question.
I don't know, something... I don't know. I'm starting to – now I'm getting skeptical. I've gone from disgusting to, well, I'll actually try it. And now I'm kind of – you know, it's kind of like the GIF, the meme, the video of that girl trying kombucha for the first time. Have you seen that on Twitter where, like, she'll make the face and then – oh, no, this is really good. You got to check it out. So, but basically, anybody who's listening that's seen this before, they'll know, that's my reaction right now to this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to find it. I'm going to tweet it at you, Dono and Duarte, and you guys can see what I'm talking about.
Well, and you can always follow Clay on Twitter, at ClayWPLG. He's Clay Ferrero, does fantastic work for Local 10. Clay, thank you so much for the time.
Take care, fellas.
And by the way, Zach, as we broach that topic, a number of texts are coming in. Yes, we need that chip in America. I lived in Canada. They are the best chips around. 67974 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Somebody says that they think Wawa has ketchup-flavored chips.
I can't imagine just taking that to the checkout, right?
I'd hide
that under my shirt. Like,
it's like buying condoms or something.
Hurry up and scan it. Hurry up and scan it.
Oh, man, it's like when the old lady has you like going to buy the feminine products for her. It's like, you don't want to be seen with that or the ketchup chips. Either way, man.
Oh. You know, I'm Cajun. I'll put anything in my mouth.
Coming up next, what the future might hold for Tom Brady and Ryan Tannehill. You're listening to Hawk and Crowder with Dono and Duarte filling in. Double D's here on 790 The Ticket. And you always create a lot of activity on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line when you bring up food-related stuff. Was asking Clay Ferrero about ketchup-flavored chips, which are virtually unknown, like on this side of the U.S.-Canadian border, but are very popular up in Canada, I've come to find out. Texter writes in, and automatically, I think this is a huge no from me. How about ketchup-flavored chicken wings? I mean, ketchup does not belong on any form of chicken, correct?
I don't think it belongs on many forms of meat.
Yeah, because I don't mind it like in certain situations on a hamburger, like depending on what else is going on the burger. Hot dogs, never. Like hot dog is mustard and maybe a couple of other specialty sauces, but no ketchup on a hot dog.
Mayonnaise?
Dan Day's a big proponent of the mayonnaise sandwich, which you were basically raised on mayonnaise sandwiches, right?
Yep, sugar water and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Sugar water. 90 pounds.
Yeah. You would think a guy who was raised on mayonnaise sandwiches would be like a hulking human being, but like Dan Day, like what do you weigh soaking wet? Like what do you register on that scale?
I think about 125, 130.
Man, that's impressive.
I'm bulking up though.
The texter writes in, Dan Day should be educating people on Zapp's Craw-Tater and Voodoo flavor. I don't think I know what any of that stuff is.
You've never had Craw-Tater Zapp's potato chips?
No, I haven't.
It's basically like a crawfish boil in a chip.
Oh, okay.
That's some seasoning, got some flavor in there, really good stuff, and then real greasy, 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 greasy.
Okay. So, Tom Brady says he's heading into free agency with an open mind. He has said he's going to be playing football in the 2020 season, whether it's New England or somewhere else. Zach, I haven't spoken to too many New England Patriots fans on this matter. Obviously, Tom Brady is the greatest Patriot of all time, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, period. This has been the face of their franchise for almost 20 years. But do you think, though, if you were a Patriot fan, you might be saying, it's time to move on and try to get our next guy in here? Because, you know, Brady can still play, don't get me wrong, but 42 years old, and I think this past season has shown you, no longer at the peak of his powers. You've been Brady reliant for such a long time. Belichick's going to hang around, so maybe you try to get his next guy in there. Is what I'm saying right now, you think blasphemy in the eyes of New England Patriots fans? Do they just say, let Tommy Brady start for us until he decides he doesn't want to do it any longer? Or do you think Patriots fans are thinking, you know what, there's never been a better time to move on, shake hands, kiss him on the cheek, and say, Tom, God bless you, have a great rest of your career, whether it's one more year or four more years. Do you think now might be the time when Patriots fans are okay moving on from Tom Brady?
Well, like, I mean, what are they going to turn to at the quarterback position? Are we going with Jarrett Stidham? Is that
right?
Is that, like, I don't think that instills confidence in the hearts of many Patriot fans. They don't have a high first-round draft pick. It's somewhere in the 20s. I don't think that Herbert, Tua, or
Maybe they try to get like Jalen Hurts in the second round or something.
Well, they don't have a second-round pick.
Oh, that's right. They traded for Muhammad Sanu. They have a third-round pick because he might still be there in the third round.
That's where the conversation starts to turn to, you know, what is a quarterback like Jacob Eason or Jake Fromm or Jalen Hurts, what can they amount to? Right now we think the general consensus in the quarterback draft class is it's three guys that are head and shoulders above everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So it depends really what the alternative is there. But I will say that watching Jimmy Garoppolo earn a Super Bowl berth has to, I want to say, make it easier in the eyes of the Patriot fans. Be like, hey, man, we had this guy, yeah, and we let him go.
Yeah,
right? because of Tom Brady.
Right, yeah, right, because that big report on Brady came out a couple years ago. As the story goes, the reason why they traded Jimmy G out to the Bay Area for a second-round pick was Tom Brady didn't want him there anymore, that Bill Belichick wanted him there. Tom Brady didn't want Garoppolo there anymore, and Robert Kraft, you know, bowed down to Tom Brady, said, Brady, if you don't want him here, we'll get rid of him. So if Bill Belichick had his way, as the story goes, he would have Jimmy Garoppolo as the heir apparent. Now he doesn't.
Yeah, I think that kind of makes it easier in some of the hearts of Patriots fans to say, hey, it's time for us to move on because we've already gotten rid of a guy who clearly can get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we can't just keep riding with Tom Brady. Now, I also think it's easy to have that point of view coming off one of his worst statistical seasons when they didn't do him any favors in terms of helping him out with the skill position players. Like, they didn't really replace Rob Gronkowski. They did a terrible job with the wide receivers, right? They let go of Josh Gordon in the middle of the season. They
let go of Antonio Brown, which later on seemed like a great decision,
right,
with what he's been up to.
They moved on from Demaryius Thomas, who went on to play for the Jets this season. So they didn't really do him any favors there. And then we always know what the Patriots do with running backs. They use like 17 different running backs. So they didn't really do him any favors in terms of the skill position players. So he didn't have that great of a season offensively. And you wonder what would that be like if he had, you know, what the Chiefs have with their dynamic skill position players. What would have Tom Brady done with Devontae Parker? And I'm just giving you examples of position players that Tom Brady could potentially play with in the future, and he didn't have any of it. So I think I'm pretty sure it's split down the middle with that fan base, although I have no real pulse on that. But I would say that watching Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl is giving fans some confidence to say, hey, we need to move on, but also the fact that they didn't do very much in terms of the personnel on that offense is also giving a lot of people hope, saying, hey, man, if we actually give him some players to play with, he can still be pretty good.
Texture writes in, Jordan Love is the Patriots' mock draft pick. I mean, whether or not it's him specifically or not, I think kind of the way that I envision it going down, Zach, is that because it looks to, and I know Brady is saying he'll be content to play anywhere he just wants to play. I think he'd prefer to stay in New England. Like, I see him probably signing a short-term, maybe a one-year deal to return there. And I think if you play it right, now's the time when the Patriots do look to draft somebody late in the first round or in the third round and have them sit behind Brady for a year, assuming he's cool with that now, because he wasn't cool with that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when Jimmy Garoppolo was still there. But assuming Brady is cool with that now, the idea of signing a short-term deal and helping groom the heir apparent to take over when he finally rides off into the sunset in his mid-40s, I think that might be the way to play this, that's probably perfect for all parties, that they re-sign Brady on a short-term deal, but they start planning for the future. I think that's the way it's going to go down because, you know, I know we've seen this before, you know, way back with Joe Montana when he went to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm pretty thankful we never saw Dan Marino play somewhere else because that would have been hard for me to stomach as a Dolphin fan. I just have a hard time envisioning Tom Brady wearing another uniform. Like, it wouldn't, and I say that even as a New England Patriots hater, right? It's kind of a weird thing for me to say that I have no love for that franchise because they've, you know, they've contributed to every other AFC East team being in the mud for the last 18 years. But even upon thinking about that, the idea of Tom Brady wearing another uniform sounds ludicrous to me.
I don't know. I feel like we've seen a lot of players, like we saw Peyton Manning recently go from one jersey to the other. You think of Brett Favre, he went from one jersey
to
the other.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, for some reason, that was weirder.
He went
than
to
Peyton.
Two different jerseys, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, because I think he had really wanted to leave for the Vikings all along, but they couldn't make that happen the first time, so he went to the Jets, and then he went to Minnesota for a couple years. But, yeah, that was weird.
We also saw Joe Montana, right?
Yep, yeah, became a Chief.
So I don't think it'd be all that way. I think it would take some getting used to in the beginning, but I don't think it'd be something that we've never seen before, you know? I could get used to it. I would welcome it. I'm over it.
Ryan Tannehill, he's heading into unrestricted free agency. Now, they could use what the franchise of the transitional tag on Tannehill in Tennessee to keep him there, but I've read that they would prefer to have him sign a new deal rather than kind of being in the purgatory of the franchise tag. I mean, is he worth elite money? Like, and I get it. He was just part of a team that went all the way to the AFC Championship, but I've heard it thrown out there potentially 4 years, $120 million, $30 million a season. Like, Ryan Tannehill cannot be worth that, can he? That if they're really going to make an effort to pay a couple of their free agents, wouldn't, and I know running back is usually not rewarded in that league, but wouldn't Derrick Henry be higher on that pecking order than Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I think, again, this year you can use the franchise tag and the transition tag. This is the last year in the collective bargaining agreement. That Derrick Henry would be rewarded with the franchise tag and Tannehill would get that transition tag. The difference being, in the transition tag, another team can offer you a contract and your team can match that.
Right.
So I think that Tannehill would be more worthy of the transition tag and Derrick Henry get the franchise tag. That's what I think will happen there. You heard it here first.
Yeah! And coming up, starting in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to be building you up with the clues on how to be registered to win tickets to the big game. You know the game I'm talking about. So you want to make sure you're listening throughout the 3 p.m., the 4 p.m., and the 5 p.m. hours. We hit the big-time simulcast when we come back. You're listening to Hawk and Crowder, Dono and Duarte, Double D's, in for H&C today here on 790 The Ticket. Big simulcast after this.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.